Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take Five, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's start with college football. The five teams remain the same, but the order changes with one of these teams. I've swapped teams here. In at number five, I put Texas. Last week, I had them at four. I just was not blown away with Texas's performance this past weekend up against Wyoming. I thought that game, even though it may not appear that way with the final score of 31-10, it was a slow start for the Longhorns, where going into the fourth quarter, it was 10-10, and then in the fourth quarter, they did outscore Wyoming 21-0. Now, Wyoming has had a good start to their season. Remember, they came down by 17 to stun Texas Tech. They crushed Portland State, or they beat Portland State 31-17, didn't crush them, and they lose to Texas 31-10. But I didn't like the way, especially the Wyoming quarterback being out, I did not like the way that Texas played in that game. So Texas moves down a spot to five. Now, I put Washington at four. I think I'm more bullish on Washington than most. I picked them to win the Pac-12 before the year. I know you could say, well, the opponents haven't been great, but Boise State's supposed to win their conference. Michigan State, I know that they're a disaster, and now Mel Tucker's out as the head coach of the Spartans, as he should be, and they play Tulsa, but they're 3-0. None of those games have been close. 56-19, 43-10, 41-7, and the quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., who could have been a Heisman Trophy finalist last year, wasn't, through three games, has put up 1,332 yards passing, 12 passing touchdowns to one interception. He has been flawless, and it's crazy to see. This is what we're getting out of Michael Penix from where he was at when he was the quarterback at Indiana and he just couldn't stay healthy. But Michael Penix is phenomenal, and that defense is really good. And the question just starts to become with Washington, when do they actually get tested? And it shouldn't be a test up against Cal. It shouldn't be a test up against Arizona. They do have a matchup coming up in a few weeks on October 14th up against Oregon. Arizona State should be easy for them. Stanford should be easy. And then you want to hear the end of the season for Washington, Hickey? What a gauntlet this is. And this is why some could be out on Washington. But I think they're the most well-rounded team in the Pac-12. At the end of the year, and it's so tough to do this week in and week out, they're at USC. Then they're home against Utah. They're up against DJ Uiagalelei and the Oregon State Beavers, and they play the Washington State Cougars to wrap up the season. Those last four games, Hickey, are brutal for Washington and what is a loaded conference of the Pac-12 that is eight teams in the top 25.
And you add in middle of October a trip to, or I guess Oregon comes to them. That's what, five ranked opponents the second half of the season? That's tough. Very tough.
But right now I put Washington in at four. Three, it's Florida State. They have a chance to put a big dent in the season this year for Clemson, because then Clemson would have lost to Duke and Florida State. I know Florida State did not play well up against Boston College. They only won the game by 2 points. Thankfully, Jordan Travis was able to return to the game. But star defensive lineman for the Seminoles, Jared Verse, joined us the other night, and he was pretty honest. He said they overlooked Boston College, and they learned a lesson from that, because a lot of people were circling this Clemson game coming up this week when they're going to Clemson. So I expect Florida State to do a number on Clemson this weekend. I love Florida State in this football game. And a big reason I love them is I don't think Dabo has realized the mighty has fallen. And this is the last stand for Dabo to keep on preaching that his team's actually better than what they are. But from a talent standpoint, and the way that Mike Norvell has utilized the transfer portal and Dabo Swinney has just refused, if Florida State does not defeat Clemson, I'd be very disappointed coming and doing this show on Monday. In at number two, it's tough to praise Michigan because they start off the year with East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green. I know they have an undefeated Rutgers this weekend, but they'll beat Rutgers. Then they play Nebraska, a game that I'm going to, Minnesota, Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue. The Michigan season really doesn't start until they're in Happy Valley on November 11th. Then out of that, they play Maryland, then they get Ohio State. So maybe you would like Penn State and Ohio State to be more spread out from one another, but like this schedule, there's only two games that you could be in danger of losing, and I do believe Michigan's better than Penn State and Ohio State. And then number one, they were not great up against South Carolina. South Carolina was a better team than them in the first half, but in order to be the champs, you got to beat the champs, and until someone takes down Georgia, they have the number one spot reserved for them. So my top five in college football, Texas in at five, Washington at four, Florida State three, Michigan two, Georgia one. Hot take, Hickey. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
The AP poll has USC in number five. The Zach Gelb poll does not. Why?
It comes down to this. I know that they only allowed 10 points against Stanford and 14 points up against Nevada. But I said going into this year, I don't believe they're the best team in the Pac-12. They have the best quarterback in the Pac-12. But I don't believe they have the best team in the Pac-12. And they haven't played anybody yet to really make me change my belief on their defense. So that's why I keep them on the outside looking in. They have to earn my trust to get into that top five.
What about Ohio State?
I look at Ohio State. I have not been impressed by them. And I wasn't impressed with them going into the year. This weekend, I think they're going to lose to Notre Dame. Their defense has improved, but that Notre Dame offensive line is a force. Audric Estime is really good, and they have the quarterback advantage, Sam Hartman, over Kyle McCord. I don't like the way that people are talking about Ohio State after the Western Kentucky game, where like they're going out of their way to praise Kyle McCord, who had a good game. I'm not taking anything away from him. You can only go up against who you're going up against, but he was 19-23, 318 yards, and three passing touchdowns. It's a wonderful performance. But people are acting as if now they've found the answer at the quarterback position. You don't make that kind of statement going up against Western Kentucky of all teams. So if he wants to win over my trust and maybe make in the top five, go beat Notre Dame this weekend in South Bend. But I think Notre Dame's going to walk out victorious.
What about the Irish?
I've almost thought about it. I almost removed Texas and put Notre Dame in there. But then I wanted to be consistent. I liked Notre Dame before the year. I didn't love them. And their schedule has not really provided a real test. But they get that this weekend. If Texas doesn't look like a crisper team, then maybe they could be on the outside looking in. And Notre Dame could usurp them after this weekend if they take down Ohio State. Texas does go up against Baylor this weekend. And Baylor to start the year is 1-2 with their one win coming up against the Long Island University Sharks, where they won 30-7. Baylor blew the game up against Utah and lost to Texas State to open up the season. That's all you got?
All I got.
All righty, that's all I need. Top five teams in the NFL. So I struggle with the fifth spot because I don't believe that the Ravens are going to be this great team. I think they could be a good team. But a parameter that I put on this through the first 2 weeks of the season is that if you want to be in the top five, you got to win both your games. And the Baltimore Ravens, I'll give them credit. A lot of people, including myself and Hickey, thought the Bengals were going to win that game. Bengals coming off a loss to the Browns. The Bengals last year started off 0-2. And the Ravens had two injuries on their offensive line, injuries all over their secondary, and they were the better team. The AFC, I still believe it is a better conference than the NFC, but it has not been a strong conference to start off the year with a lot of teams losing that we didn't expect to lose, like the Bills once Rodgers goes down, like the Bengals as well losing two, and then also the Kansas City Chiefs losing their opening game. But right now, I got to be fair here. The Ravens, they weren't impressive in week one because going up against the Texans, but they were clearly the better team up against the Bengals, and they were undermanned in the game. So I put the Ravens in at number five. I think I had this team up one spot last week. I knocked them down even though they got a win. I walked away from that game with the Miami Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are winning the AFC East. I picked them before the year. I think the Dolphins are a Super Bowl contender. I think the Dolphins are a heck of a team. But I thought they were really going to blow out the Patriots. And I know you could say at times it was 17-3. The game ended up being a 7-point game. And the Dolphins kept on begging the Patriots to go beat them, and or at least tie up the game and leaving the door open. I really like Miami. I think Miami's a heck of a team. But like this weekend, you go up against another team that's not that great in the Broncos, go blow them out. And I want to see Miami go blow out a team like the Denver Broncos, who clearly they have more talent than. But I put the Dolphins at a number 4. 3, Hickey's favorite team. How about them Cowboys? 40-0, 30-10. Micah Parsons right now is looking like the most dominant player in the NFL. Dak Prescott and the offense has been solid through the first two games. And defensively with Stephon Gilmore, Trayvon Diggs, Dexter Lawrence, Micah Parsons, list goes on and on and on. That team is absolutely loaded. In at number 2, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. They went up big up against the Vikings and let them back in the game. I still think the Eagles are one of, if not the most talented teams in the NFL. Not a lot of flaws with that football team with A.J. Brown, with guys like Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, defense still loaded all across the board. And I love their quarterback in Jalen Hurts, and I trust him, even though some people are critical about them. Like, the Eagles just came off going to a Super Bowl, and they're still 2-0, and people are talking negatively about the Eagles. They're going to be in it right at the end of the year. And then at number 1, it's the San Francisco 49ers. That defense is sick. Offensively, Run CMC is going to win Offensive Player of the Year. I said that before the year. Debo got in the end zone this week. We'll see what happens with Ayuk with the injury. We all know how great that offensive line is. And Brock Purdy is rocking out with his Brock out and looking pretty awesome. So I put the Niners in at the top spot. So Ravens 5, Dolphins 4, Cowboys 3, Eagles 2, and the 49ers in at number 1. Hot take, Hickey, speak now, forever hold your peace.
So the stipulation is 2-0 teams only. What about the Washington Commanders?
So week 1, I know they won the game and you got to win the game, but I was not impressed with them up against the Cardinals. So that's why they're not in. But I will say last week, yeah, they were down 21-3. And then they dug deep and they found a way to embarrass the Broncos. But it's still the Broncos. I got to see them play a cleaner game of football. I did pick them to go to the playoffs before the start of the year. Sam Howell is looking good, but not ready to say that they're anywhere close to being a top 5 team in the NFL.
And finally, I'm just going to present a conference. Minus 1 team, the Panthers, the NFC South. 3-2-0 teams.
You're a funny guy. The Saints barely beat Tennessee in week 1. The Saints, ugly performance up against the Panthers. I like the Falcons. All right, they played the Panthers. They had to come from behind up against the Packers. And the Buccaneers, I'll tell you, I'll give you credit. The Buccaneers are growing on me. With that defense, and Baker has played well, but with Baker Mayfield being your quarterback right now, I still can't say that they're a top 5 team in the NFL. I'm surprised you didn't ask me any Bengals or, I mean, not the Bengals, the Chiefs. I'm surprised you didn't throw the Chiefs in there after getting a win.
Well, you said 2-0 only.
Okay.
So they're 1-1.
I know. I'm just surprised you didn't ask it, but that's fair. That's good listening there by Hot Take Hickey. A-plus in the listening department right here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. Brady Quinn's going to join us in about 20 minutes or so. We'll revisit the whole Justin Fields conversation. And one radio host was talking about me before talking to a very big guest. We'll do a little multiple choice on who the guest was that the radio host was talking to right after he talked about me when we return right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, so this came to my attention. A few weeks ago, a certain radio host was interviewing someone who's very famous and well-known. And right before bringing on that guest, like a minute and a half, 2 minutes before bringing on that guest, they were actually talking about me and this radio program. Hickey, let me give you a little multiple choice. A, B, C, or D. Was that host talking to Alex Rodriguez, Donald Trump, Coach Prime Deion Sanders, or Congresswoman Lauren Boebert? I think that's how you say her last name, who's been in the news for a little touchy time, let's say, with the companion at, I guess, some show or some event that they were
Beetlejuice.
At.
Come on, the regional production
Wasn't
of Beetlejuice.
Like a lot of kids around?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, that's... Bad. So who do you think it was? Was it A-Rod? Was it President Trump, Coach Prime, or Lauren Boebert?
I will go C, Coach Prime.
You would be incorrect. It was not Coach Prime. A-Rod, Trump, or Boebert?
Would it be A, Alex Rodriguez?
You would be incorrect.
Would it be B, Donald Trump?
You would be correct. Sid Rosenberg, who does mornings on 770 WABC, who once put me on the radio when I was 7 or 8 years old, I kid you not, was talking about our radio show and also a show that I was doing or upcoming on WFAN down the hall. And he was talking about me. And then 90 seconds later, he had President Trump on his show. When someone told me that, it was a friend of mine that listens to Sid's show. They go, Sid was just talking about you, and like no more than 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes max, he brought on President Trump. So I wonder if Trump was on hold for a little bit, and he was hearing about the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio, an appearance I also made on WFAN.
Huh. I
couldn't believe that.
Called. I don't know what kind of sports fan he would be.
Yeah, I have no clue.
I think he was at Iowa State recently, so maybe a big college football fan.
He was, and if you recall, there's that crazy photo when Carlos Beltran struck out against the Cardinals in the NLCS. If you look, Trump is standing there with like his arms crossed, looking very, very upset and annoyed right behind home plate. So,
rightfully so. That was a heartbreaker of a loss.
You know, I don't get political on this show. And, you know, I've never voted for Trump, but when someone told me that they were talking about me before bringing on the president of the United States, I really thought someone was just messing with me. Like, I could not believe that. Anyway, let's get back to this Justin Fields thing. What's your biggest takeaway from today when discussing Justin Fields? You've been more pro Justin Fields and you've been a believer in Justin Fields. When you hear the way that he conducted himself today, blaming the coaching staff, which is part to blame, but really taking no accountability, then having to walk it back and saying, oh, it's the media fault. You know, I said early in the week that the Bears are going to be drafting a new quarterback come April because they're going to be back in the top five of the draft. This is a loaded quarterback class, and Justin Fields just is not seeing the field the correct way. But when you see how it's played out, it's kind of Zach Wilson-esque, where you made a situation that was bad just even worse with the way that you conducted yourself in front of the media.
It's frustrating. As someone, like I said, who loved Justin Fields coming out of college, even though he went to a rival college, it's still, he was someone who has a lot of talent and someone who's really, you know, both mobility and also arm strength wise, someone who can do, you know, both things really well. And to hear him now, see his NFL career not really take off so far. Again, we talk about the offensive line and coaching. There's a lot of blame to go around for the Bears. It's not one person. It's not the quarterback. But that said, Justin Fields has not been good himself. Justin Fields has not done anything to elevate the lack of talent around him. And while you can point to the coaching staff, you can point to offensive line and point to receivers like Chase Claypool dogging it, all fair, it starts and ends with you. And you got to be the one to take accountability. You got to want to say, you know what? It's on me. I got to improve. He did not do that. And that is really concerning because he himself, along with everyone else, has been very bad.
So we've seen five first-round picks be quarterbacks twice in recent memory, where you had Baker Mayfield, you had Sam Darnold in one draft class, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and then Lamar Jackson. Lamar's been a unanimous MVP. Josh Allen has been a star. Sam Darnold's been a bust. Josh Rosen, bust. We all know that. He's been on a bunch of teams, but he's never played really or never been any good. I don't even know where he is now. It wouldn't surprise me if he's on a practice squad somewhere. I think he's probably not on a practice squad. And then you have Baker Mayfield, who won a playoff game in Cleveland, then goes to Carolina, then goes to the Rams, and now is with Tampa Bay. So you had five quarterbacks go in the first round, and really only two made it. Then in that Trevor Lawrence draft class, you had Trevor Lawrence go one, you had Zach Wilson go two, Trey Lance go three, and then the Justin Fields went 10 to the Bears, and then Mac Jones went 15 to the Patriots. You look right now, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to be really damn good. Now, he survived the scare of Urban Meyer, now has Doug Peterson. Zach Wilson's a bust. Trey Lance, I can't call him a bust because we just haven't seen him play, but I don't think Trey Lance is going on to have the successful career. And Justin Fields looks like he stinks right now. And the Patriots have failed Mac Jones, but I can't sit here and tell you that Mac Jones is going to be a very good quarterback. It just shows you, we talk about all these quarterbacks, and even in a year we have all these quarterbacks go, and you had five go in the first round in that Baker Mayfield year, five go in the first round in also that Trevor Lawrence year. Out of those 10, like, only three really made it. And this year we have a draft class, Hickey, where potentially Shedeur Sanders, definitely Caleb Williams, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., who knows who else will emerge. I kind of wonder if this year's draft class will break that trend, and maybe you'll get a few guys that end up going on to be very great. But it's crazy how much we talk about these guys and then how quickly their careers just bottom out and end up not living up to the hype that we thought they were going to be.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
Nobody's picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl, so let's just go learn, right?
Well, this is always going to happen. Jim Irsay's calling all the shots there. And the honky-tonk man didn't draft this kid where they drafted this kid to have him look great in practice and look awesome running the scout team. You know what I mean? But yeah, let's play this Minshew cat or whatever on Sunday. Like, no way.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, it is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. A big weekend of college football upcoming. It's only Wednesday, and we're counting down the days, trying to fast forward through Thursday and Friday to get us to Saturday, because this is the first big monster slate in the college football world. through the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. So we're really looking forward to that. And now joining us is the former Notre Dame quarterback, does a sensational job with Big Noon Kickoff on Fox. And that, of course, is Brady Quinn here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Brady, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. Thanks for having me on, Zach.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So let me start you off with Notre Dame, Ohio State. All eyes this weekend are on Kyle McCord to see what he's going to look like up against Notre Dame. What type of performance do you think the Ohio State quarterback will give us on Saturday?
Well, I don't think it's so much about Kyle McCord. I think it's more about the offensive line for Ohio State and really their running backs led by Travion Henderson. You know, I think that group is going to do the best they can to try to take the pressure off of Kyle McCord so he doesn't have to win it with his arm. I mean, remember, this is a Notre Dame defense that only gave up 21 points to Ohio State last year. That was their lowest output, and they've gotten deeper and they've gotten better. And so I think it's a tall task to then ask a guy, Kyle McCord, in his first year starting to go on the road to South Bend and try to be able to dice up a defense that's been really stingy so far this season. Maybe not so much tested, but potentially have to go, you know, throw for throw with a guy like Sam Hartman, who's one of the most prolific quarterbacks we've seen out of the ACC and now doing the same thing at Notre Dame so far. So I think it's going to be more about, you know, Ohio State and if they can run the football, and if they can't, and they have to rely on Kyle McCord, that could be a tall order, even as talented as they are on the outside of wide receiver.
Yeah, I know when we always talk about these games, and you know it better than anybody, we all talk about the quarterbacks, right? I started off with Kyle McCord. You, of course, talk about Sam Hartman. But the last 2 years with Ohio State, when they were exposed up against Michigan, they just got beat up in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and then the running backs for Michigan just took care of them. Like, when I look at Notre Dame, I can't wait to see what type of game Audric Estime has, because the first few weeks of the season, he's looked like a stud, and I want to see if Ohio State could slow him down.
Yeah, and they've really got a stable of backs, even behind Audric Estime. You know, when you're looking at, like, Love, their freshman, you'll see him little number 12, he gets out there. And there's really five backs that you'll kind of rotate through and see. Audric Estime actually leads the country right now in total yards as a running back, but they've got a great group. They obviously mix them in, kind of play to their strengths. The offensive line probably never gets enough credit. I mean, if you look at Joe Alt, he's arguably the best left tackle in the country. You know, there's a few other people that might be in the conversation for that, but he's amazing. Blake Fisher at the other side is amazing. Zeke Coral, and then the inside at center is great. The two guards are inexperienced, but, you know, for the most part, they've really been able to pound and physically dominate teams thus far. I think this is going to be by far and away their greatest challenge really this entire season. I mean, this Ohio State defensive front is sound. They're solid. They're probably best suited up front in the interior. There's no Chase Youngs on the edge. However, the tackles will be tested. I mean, this is the best defensive front Notre Dame's seen yet to date. So it's going to be fascinating to see how Notre Dame goes about trying to run the football. I wouldn't be shocked if you don't see Sam Hartman keeping the football a little bit more too, utilizing some of his legs as well.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 no confidence, 10 most confidence you've ever had, how confident are you that Notre Dame will get the job done?
10. I mean, I saw this team week zero up close and personal in Dublin, Ireland. And granted, it wasn't so much about being there for them playing Navy. It was just seeing the team and seeing the size, the depth they have really in the trenches, looking at their skill positions. They're as long and as athletic and as skillful as I've seen in my lifetime. So this is a group that's been – they've recruited well. They've developed well. They've kind of been primed now to try to have that breakthrough. And I think Sam Hartman's the guy that's now opening so many things up for them on the outside, a wide receiver, where they've had talent. They just haven't been able to have someone who can really stretch the field vertically and then really give them that. And they've got a quarterback now that can do that. I mean, it's been a long time since the Notre Dame team has had this much talent on one roster. I think it's going to surprise a lot of Ohio State people. And, you know, you mentioned – how Ohio State's matched up versus Michigan. This group feels very similar to Michigan as far as how this team is built. They're still built through the running game, dominate you physically, but sound, solid defense. They can get pressure. They can get turnovers. But now they've got the ability to make the big plays, too, with the quarterback, very similar to how Michigan can do it. So we'll see where Ohio State's at, because this is going to be the closest thing they'll face before they have to go up to Ann Arbor and have to play the Wolverines.
So how far can Notre Dame take it this year? Because when you say 10 out of 10 confidence they're going to beat Ohio State, that's a pretty big claim. And I like Notre Dame this weekend, let me add. But, you know, this team at the end of the year, how do you think we're talking about the Fighting Irish?
Yeah, I think they're going to be potentially a college football playoff contender. I mean, the biggest question is, if they do win this one, you know, the USC game is going to be the biggest USC game probably since I was there back in 05. Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, you're not talking about a team that was – on a 27-game win streak, had won back-to-back national championships. But they've got the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. They're an offensive juggernaut. They've gotten better on defense, too, especially through the transfer portal. We've got six guys, basically, who have been starters that they got through the portal this year. So USC is a much better team and much more poised to try to make a run at the college football playoff. And I think if you get through that game, you know, based on how Clemson looks so far, even though that game's down in Clemson, South Carolina, you know, the schedule, it's not easy. I mean, Duke, now they're on the road. That's a tough game. Louisville's on the road. That's a tough game. But I think they've got a shot, you know, of being that team that I think makes it in if they can go unscathed. If they drop one, you obviously your fate's not in your hands anymore. You're hoping then that you're going up against, you know, potentially two lost conference champions. That's the only way you can really assure yourself potentially a shot. But with their strength of schedule, I think it's going to play out pretty well that they'll be in the mix at the end of the year.
Brady Quinn here with us. So Clemson is vulnerable. Florida State's clearly a better football team. We know Clemson's been the standard in the ACC, seven out of the last 8 years winning the conference. Is Florida State going to take care of them pretty good this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's crazy to think, too, that line before the season started, I want to say it was, you know, Clemson, I think given 7 or 4, whatever it is. You know, now you've got Florida State. I believe they're going there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They're given 1.5 or whatever it is now. I mean, the tough thing for Clemson is they just don't have the offensive firepower on the outside. Will Shipley's a fantastic back. They also have a stable of backs. But, you know, Dabo hasn't bought into the transfer portal, and NIL is big as some of the other schools, and I think that's hurt them, at least in recruiting or potentially supplementing their roster to be able to find some of those dynamic playmakers they're accustomed to having on the outside. And you look at Florida State, I mean, they went and got Keelan Coleman from Michigan State. He's had a huge impact. They've already got a big target in Johnny Wilson. They got Shaheem Bell from South Carolina at tight end. Those guys are really tough to match up with, and especially when you combine, you know, that with the rushing attack for Florida State and Jordan Travis's mobility. So I don't feel confident that Clemson's going to be able to go, you know, blow for blow Florida State if they start, you know, scoring some points and it becomes a track meet on the field. I think that's my big concern there for Clemson.
Brady Quinn here with us. Big noon kickoff, which is sensational. There'll be Oklahoma, Cincinnati this week. When we get to Ole Miss, Alabama, it's been quarterback roulette for the Crimson Tide through the first 3 weeks of the season. Now they're going back to Jalen Milroe. They're going up against Ole Miss this weekend. 3:30 p.m. Eastern is kickoff there on CBS. What does the Alabama offense look like this week if you had to take a stab at it?
A lot of running the football. You know, if you're looking at Ole Miss right now, they're getting about 350 yards a game so far, and they really haven't played the toughest opponents. About half that's on the ground. So I think you're going to see a lot of running the football. Jalen Milroe will obviously be part of that. And they'll sprinkle in and try to build some more concepts to the things he feels comfortable with. Look, everyone's going to make a big deal about what happened last week with USF. I think that was a game that Alabama felt it was very winnable for them. And if they were ever going to try to give a dress rehearsal to Tyler Buckner, who transferred there, or to Ty Simpson, who lost out in the quarterback battle, that was the game to do it. And so we're all going to make a big deal about, you know, hey, you know, Milroe's in a part of it. They benched them all stuff. It wasn't that. I think they wanted to give these guys some live game reps. You don't have preseason in college football. This is a quarterback battle that dragged on to the start of the season. And that was the game that they selected to try to give those guys a shot. Clearly, that's not the answer. So they go with Milroe now. I have no reservations whatsoever about Bama. I think there's been an extreme overreaction of what we saw last week. And I think this is one where Alabama's going to take care of business. Their defense has been the most consistent piece for them. I know Lane Kiffin's had success versus, you know, Nick Saban defense in the past, but, you know, Jackson Dart had to carry this team last week running the football. I just don't know that they have the dynamic playmakers on the outside like we've been accustomed to seeing in years past, the Jonathan Mingos, the A.J. Browns, you know, et cetera. So I think that's where they may be lacking a little bit, and this is one where Alabama takes care of business.
Talking to Brady Quinn right now, UCLA, Utah, if Cam Rising plays, I think they're going to make a decision on it tomorrow. It's a big plus for Utah, even though they're 3-0, and they've done a heck of a job to start off this season for the back-to-back Pac-12 champs. But what can you realistically expect from Cam Rising coming off that ACL first game back going up against UCLA?
It's a great question, Zach, because he's been, you know, practicing for the past couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
He kept thinking like maybe it was last week he was going to get a chance to play and get out there. So I'm not sure, you know, I know it's all based on the medical, you know, and the docs to clear him, but they probably want to wait till he's as close to 100% as possible. And I spoke with him before the season even started, and he led me to think that he was going to play this year and he was going to, you know, show out. Maybe this is that matchup he had circled. in his rehab process. But either way, the matchup comes down to UCLA's ability to run the football against that Utah rush defense. That's always so good. Second right now in the Pac-12. You know, UCLA's running the crap out of the ball. It's a little skewed because of their last game running for about 400 yards. But Utah wants to put this game on the true freshman quarterback, Dante Moore. You know, he's a five-star recruit, highly talented kid. He's a good decision maker. He's checked every box so far. But this is that big challenge. You got a two-time Pac-12 champ, Morgan Scalley, their defensive coordinator, knows how to get pressure. He knows how to frustrate young quarterbacks, and that's really what it comes down to. If UCLA struggles to run the football, I think Utah can take care of business whether Cam Rising's there or not. Nate Johnson and Bryson Barnes have done a really good job backing up for him there.
Staying in the Pac-12, Oregon State, Washington State. This could be a fun one between DJ Uiagalelei and then also Ward. Going to be a lot of points in this one. I think people are sleeping on this Oregon State defense, but what do you think will ultimately determine the game between Oregon State and Washington State and Pullman?
Yeah, isn't it fun talking about all these Pac-12 matchups? Really, the
and the conference is going away. It's crazy. It's the best it's ever been with 18 of the top 25, and the conference is dead.
Yeah, the swan song, too. And I hear people saying, hey, if Deion would have been at CU last year, maybe that they would have worked out a TV rights deal. Who knows? Maybe they would have. But, you know, Cam Ward, the quarterback for Washington State from Incarnate Word, he's been phenomenal. Like, he's one of the best players in college football that you don't hear about because they can yell as loud as they want from Pullman and no one on the East Coast is able to see it. Hopefully people will watch this young man. He is an absolute star. And look, he's facing his biggest challenge so far this season. Oregon State's the more complete team, and you're seeing DJ Uiagalelei kind of reborn under Jonathan Smith, who, look, was a former quarterback there at Oregon State, really good offensive mind. I just think Oregon State's it's going to be too much for him to ask. I think they'll be able to run the football. DJ Useful is really comfortable within the system, and defensively it's just too tall of a task. So tight game. But I think Oregon State will take care of business versus Washington State.
I think it's good also when you're trying to get the East Coast fan involved in Oregon State, Washington State. This is 7 p.m. Eastern kickoff on Fox. Last thing I'll ask you in terms of the games this weekend, we know the biggest story in the sport right now is Coach Prime with Colorado. They have their biggest task yet going to Eugene, going up against the Ducks, who are a sensational team with Dan Lanning and Bo Nix. Right now, Oregon's a 21-point favorite. Earlier in the week, I plus the 21 points. I just think it's too many points. I expect Oregon to win the game, but I just have too much respect for Colorado to think that they're going to lose this game by 22 or more.
Yeah, we've seen it now the past 3 weeks, and Shedeur Sanders is an absolute star at the quarterback position. And when you've got a guy who can distribute the football, be as accurate as he is, as poised as he is, and the ability to make plays like he did last week, a 98-yard drive, really to help take them into overtime. I mean, he's always going to give you a shot. And this is going to be Oregon's, really biggest test so far this year. So it's going to be a track meet. I think both teams will be able to score some points. Eventually, though, as long as Oregon doesn't shoot themselves in the foot like TCU did week one or Nebraska did week two, they should be able to manhandle CU in the trenches. And that's where, they'll be able to get pressure on Shedeur Sanders. They'll be able to, obviously run the football at will if they want. And I think that's the battle that CU is up against is these next 2 weeks. It's the talent of obviously what they're playing with that can match them, because obviously Xavier Weaver and Jimmy Horn Jr. will be the kind of the star of the highlights. Michael Harrison will play more now with the injury to Travis Hunter, the lacerated liver. So Harrison will play more at the tight end spot for CU. And you saw that at the end of last week's game. But, teams can match up evenly with their skill. It's really about the trenches. And that's where the Oregons, the USCs are just that much better up front, where it's hard to imagine that they're not going to be able to get pressure, not going to be able to do what they want. And ultimately, I'm with you. I think Colorado can keep it close. But it could be miraculous to see them be able to go to Eugene and get a win. But I kind of find it hard to believe based on what they're up against right now.
If Shedeur leaves Colorado after this year to go to the pros, is there? I don't think he'll surpass Caleb Williams, but could he move past Drake May in some of these mock drafts, in your opinion?
Maybe. I mean, as far as the mock drafts go, sure. I'm sure someone's going to throw that out there. As far as what the teams think.
Well, in Brady Quinn's mock draft, let's go.
I would say I have him right up there with them. I mean, obviously you want to see him play a little bit more this year too. But look, he checks all the boxes. I mean, he's got the prototypical size. He's extremely accurate, in particular downfield, which is really what the game's become at the next level is all the vertical passing games. So, that combined with the athleticism, combined with the fact he's a good decision maker, you know, he's right there, you know, after those guys. I think you're Caleb Williams is on an island on his own. That guy is just he's an alien. You know, he's that talented of a quarterback. He probably should win the Heisman 2 years in a row. I don't know if they're going to give it to him or not, but he's that damn good. You know, Drake May somewhere after that. He hasn't looked quite as good this year as I think people felt about him last year. And Shador's kind of flew up on the scene. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a debate to be made between those two. And then, obviously, there's some others that I think we're going to throw in the mix when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how we're talking about Michael Penix Jr. at the end of this year. Because, personally, I have Washington Brady winning the Pac-12. I feel like we all know that they're a good team, but when it comes to winning the Pac-12, just people are looking elsewhere this year, whether it's USC, you know, Colorado, Oregon, and maybe even Utah for the third straight year.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, Utah gets no love. All they do is just keep going out there and physically beating you up and winning football games, winning Pac-12 championships. It's like, everyone's like, well, who's going to beat USC? I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of teams that could. I mean, it's a gauntlet for anyone in the Pac-12. It's probably why they wouldn't get a team in the playoff, because no one can survive that. I mean, you mentioned Washington. You know, the two wide receivers out there right now in their defense, I mean,
sick.
They're as good as anyone. Like that team should be probably a top six team right now based on how they look. And Michael Penix has been phenomenal. He's helped himself in his draft stock. So, look, I gush talking about the Pac-12 because you turn on the tape, all you're watching is great quarterback play at the college level, so it's a ton of fun. But it's going to be fascinating to see how the next few weeks play out. And I feel bad, but in the final year, it might be the best year for the Pac-12, but they might even play themselves out of being a part of the playoff.
All right, last thing I'll ask you, Brady Quinn, from a broadcasting standpoint. You know how special game day is. Now you're on Big Noon, and you guys have done a great job. This weekend you'll be at Cincinnati for Oklahoma, Cincinnati. To hear people now say that they think Big Noon, and so I've heard some people say this, Big Noon is a better show than game day. When you hear those compliments and those comments, just how does it make you feel, and how do you kind of look at that?
Well, it's a huge compliment. I mean, look, game day has been around forever. You know, it was the staple that a lot of people grew up turning on. And, you know, all we've tried to do is provide what we feel like is, you know, our best form or presentation of college football and trying to have fun, educate people, entertain people, and really talk about the game that's been so good to us and the game that we love. And so if we're able to change people's habits out there, where when they tune in on Saturdays, they're tuning in to Big Noon kickoff at 10 a.m. Eastern time, you know, awesome. Like that's our goal, obviously, is we want to try to be out there to reach as many people as possible with our way of communicating our love for the game of college football. So come join us 10 a.m. Eastern every Saturday on Fox. You can obviously, you know, see the whole crew having some fun. I mean, last week was like a con. I mean, we had Lil Wayne out there.
Sick.
Brock was there. It was nuts. I've never been a part of anything like
that. It was
that,
the world's biggest frat party. That's the way that I described it.
That's one way of putting it. I mean, I feel bad for the kids. I'm not sure they were all able to make it to the late kick at what 8 p.m. I think local time there.
A lot of naps during the middle of the day. There's no doubt about it. You wake up at probably 7 and go, oh, got an hour to get ready for the game. Anyway, Brady Quinn, keep on kicking ass. Always appreciate when you join us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
There he is, Brady Quinn, joining us. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And how about that take from Brady Quinn on a scale of 1 to 10? How confident is he that Notre Dame is going to take care of the Buckeyes this weekend? 1 being no confidence at all, 10 being as confident as you could be. He was in there at a 10. We'll see how that game does play out this weekend. I do like Notre Dame to win the ball game, but I don't think I'm at a 10 out of 10 confidence with the Fighting Irish. But I do like that football team this year, and I was usually more optimistic than I am with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish heading into a season this year than I have been in previous years. Anyway, that's all the time that we do have today on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Once again, I'd like to thank Brady Quinn. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting the show. You could always give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We'll have a big show for you tomorrow. Victor Cruz is going to stop by, and also the head football coach at Oregon with the Ducks, Dan Lanning, will be joining us, and we will also be joined by Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Drew Tranquil. All righty, we're out. Have a great rest of your Wednesday evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Bye-bye. Peace!